Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Turn your Bibles with me to Exodus, the third chapter. Apostles been dealing with us with one of the most powerful things that God said throughout the whole Bible and could ever say. Because everything else comes from that statement. In Exodus, the third chapter, and the 14th verse. And God said unto Moses, nobody else had to say it. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. This was God giving Moses instructions. He gave Moses some instructions to deliver his people from bondage. And Moses was questioning, you know, who, when I go, they're not going to believe me. So who am I going to say sent me? I am that I am is a consciousness that God has placed on inside of you. Go with me to Genesis, the first chapter. Montrell began to talk about Wednesday about God is here, meaning God is present. God is not some far off being. God is not somewhere where we can't get to him. God is omnipresent. He's ever with us all the time. And so one of the goals of the apostolic or the agenda of God is for you to grasp the concept of the omnipresence of God. Now, we have some terminology in the Bible. How many know that the Bible was written by men, inspired by God? Right? So if the Bible was written by men, inspired by God, that means God had to pass through them to write the Bible. Right? God ideas had to come to them to write the Bible. And so sometimes, and this is nothing wrong with this, it's just the way it is. We as humans, if God comes into a place, well, I just messed up by saying what I just said because I'm explaining it to you. Because God can't come into no place. He's already there. But you understand my colloquial, my terminology. That because of our humanity, that's the way we think. So if God can come say the same thing to all of us, we're going to hear it differently. So men and women of God that wrote the Bible, they heard God, but they heard it based on who they were. And so we come up with colloquialisms that have hindered us from ever becoming conscious of who God created us to be. So watch this. In Genesis, the first chapter, 26th verse. Let me get there. 26th verse. And God said, let us make man in our image and after. And I am said. I am said. Let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27. So I am created man in his own I am-ness. In the image of I am-ness, he created he, him. Male and female. Verse 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. And I need you to underline the word subdue it. Because dominion and subdue are not the same thing. Just because you have dominion don't mean you subdued. So what am I saying? God has created us to bring some things under our control. You're designed to dominate it. You're designed to dominate it, but you got to bring it under your control. You're designed to dominate in life, but you got to bring life under your control. God is not going to do that for you, because he made you in the image of I am. So watch this. Watch this. Listen to me very carefully. Watch this. When Moses was saying, God, who shall I say sent me? God said, tell him I am sent you. Right? So when you go to your situation because of Jesus Christ, you don't have to say, I am sent you. You can say, I am here. If I'm made in the image of I am, and then I am who I'm made in the image of, told me he's given me dominion, then he told me to subdue. That means whatever I see that is not under my control, that's supposed to be under my control, I can tell it that I am is here. All right, watch this, watch this. Watch this, watch this, watch this. Verse 29, and God said, behold, I've given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. To who? To you, to us it shall be for meat. You see that? And to every beast on the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every herb, every green herb for meat, and it was so. Right? Go to Genesis, the third chapter. Before you go to the third chapter, I got to see something. I want you to see something in the second chapter. Go to the second chapter, the 15th verse. And the Lord God, Genesis 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. You see that, right? And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in that day thou eatest, thou shalt surely die. So that's God, that's I am, telling I am how to stay connected. You see that? Chapter 3, verse 7. I want you to see something. And the eyes of them both were open. Why they were open? Come on, Bible students, why they were open? They off the very. Thank you very for being very specific. They ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the same tree that God told them not to eat off of, right? And the Bible says their eyes were opened, right? So I have to ask this question: if their eyes were opened when they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then something had to be happening when they was eating off these other trees. If their eyes were opened to something when they ate off the tree of knowledge, good and evil, that means their eyes were being opened to something when they ate off other tree that they were freely able to eat off of. It's just not about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. There was something significant about all the other trees. Let me give you the inner meaning of what God was trying to get us to see. The fruit consumed off the trees in the garden represented information received from God in the presence of God. All right, then watch this now. The tree of knowledge of good and evil could do no more than what the other trees were doing. So as long as they ate off the other trees, they were able to access information, revelation, knowledge from God in his presence. Now here, now watch this. When they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they received some information. Watch this. They were still in the presence of God. Because God is omnipresent. So now that now it puts us, see, now I need you to mature, I need you to grow up, I need you to come out of somebody else is more spiritual than me. I need you to come out of that. So Adam and Eve had the choice to eat off the tree of knowledge of good and evil or all the other trees. They chose to eat off the other trees, and then they tried to sneak a bite off the. And the Bible says their eyes were opened. What their eyes were open to? Their eyes were open to disconnection from God. They opened their eyes to be disconnected from God. So when the enemy is, when they ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that means they started getting information from somewhere else besides God. But all the other trees that they were eating off of was giving them God's intelligence. Are you seeing this? When they ate off the tree, their eyes were open. And then the Bible says they realized they were naked. Right? Now, this is a very important thing for you to understand. When they ate off the tree, their conscience was blocked from God and exposed to the darkness. As your conscience is being exposed to the darkness, you are now responsible for the outcome. When your conscience is exposed to darkness, that means you're getting your information from someplace other than God, and so now you are responsible for the outcome. Watch this. Look at verse 8. Genesis 3, verse 8. And they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. That's impossible. Let me explain to you how that's impossible and why it's written like this. Do y'all know who wrote Genesis? Who wrote Genesis? Besides, what physical man wrote Genesis? Moses, right? So Moses was writing Genesis by the inspiration of God, but he was writing it from his experiences. So you got to realize Moses is the one who came up with the concept of God being separated from us. Because he said, when God talked to him, he said, when I go, who am I tell him sent me? Then in Exodus 33, I think it's verse, I want to say 33, he said, God, I'm not going if your presence don't come with me. If you notice, God never answered him. God started talking to him and telling him what he wanted to do. Why? Because God ain't answering that question because I am there before you got there. I'm trying to get you to understand that concept of omnipresent. God is here. See, God, watch this. God, y'all, listen to me, because I need your understanding to change about this. God is no more with apostle than he is with you. God is no more with apostle than he is with you. Moses writing Genesis, and from his perspective, it was Adam and Eve trying to run from the presence of God. But you can't run from the presence of God. God is always with you. God is always there. Listen, God was with you before you knew he was with you. So the question is, what changed? Because 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, if any man, go down, put it on the screen so they can see it. Put it on the screen so they can see it. Put it on the screen so they can see it. 2 Corinthians 5, 17. It locked up on you? Oh, there it is. Therefore, if any man, if any man, nobody's excluded. Everybody have the same opportunity. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, when you got born again, your physical appearance did not change. What changed? Watch this. All right, I like that answer. Your spirit. Okay, I like that answer. Your spirit. What about your spirit changed? What about your spirit changed? You became what? Alive to a God who was already there. You became alive to God who was already there. So what happened to Adam and Eve is that they chose to change their conscience. And they chose what they were going to be aware of and what they was not going to be aware of. If you go to the end of chapter 3 of Genesis, you should be still there in your Bible because I put 2 Corinthians on the screen so you didn't have to turn there. Verse 24. And so he drove man out of the garden. God drove man out of the garden of Eden. Because he said, man can't stay in the garden like this. Because if man stay in the garden choosing to ignore my presence, choosing not to be conscious or aware of my presence, then they're going to have unchecked power to do what they want to do. So therefore Satan can now influence them and they can take the power that I have given them and do whatever he say do. So watch this. So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims, angels or messengers, and a flaming sword was turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. So the tree of life is hidden behind something. The tree of life is hidden behind something. Now, what did the tree of life do? The tree of life represented every other tree in the garden. As long as they ate off that tree, they had, watch this, listen to me. I'm going to say this is something I said just now a few minutes ago. I'm going to say it this way. The tree of life, which all the other trees beside the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the tree of life Every time and as long as they ate off of it, it gave them unchecked powers. It gave them unchecked power because what you were doing was getting what they were supposed to be doing was getting information from I am. Message was going from I am to I am. So now that their conscience or their spirits have been blocked from the presence of God, they chose to ignore it. God said, you couldn't stay here like this. He said, so I'm going to take the Garden of Eden, kick them out, and I'm going to block it. Notice God didn't destroy the Garden of Eden. He blocked access to it. He put it behind cherubim, which are angels, which represent messengers. And he hid it behind a flaming sword. I'm gonna explain to you in a few minutes. Because what I need you to understand is, when Jesus died on the cross, went to the grave, got up, went to the throne to present himself to God, a transaction happened that reversed everything Adam and Eve did. And watch this, gave us access to Eden. Eden is no longer a physical location. Eden is hidden behind maturity. Eden is hid behind maturity and your ability to be aware of God's presence. If you can mature and be aware of God's presence, you can have unchecked powers. You can have unchecked powers. There's a saying, you know, when somebody trying to put control on you and trying to tell you what you're going to do, you know that phrase, who going to check me, boo? Who going to check me? When you mature and you have the ability to be aware of God's presence, you have access to unchecked abilities, unchecked power, unchecked dominion. So that means anything in your life or surrounding you, you will be able to subdue it. Not God subdue it. God didn't lay that rod in front of Pharaoh. And it turned into Moses laid that rod down. He said, you shall subdue. What does God have to subdue? He God. He God. And why would God come subdue something that he gave you power to subdue? See, Adam and Eve had unchecked power, unchecked authority, unchecked everything in their garden, as long as they were aware of God's presence. As soon as they hid from God's presence, that's when they start discovering how limited they were. God is with you. See, Apostle gave us prophetic instructions and prophetic utterance about maybe 2 weeks ago. He said, I need you for 7 times a day, for 7 days, to say, I am a carrier of the glory of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the governing power of the Holy Ghost. Listen to what this is what a prophetic utterance does. A prophetic utterance points you back to God's original plan. God's original plan was for you to be a carrier of his success, to be a carrier of his empowerment, and to be able to subdue. That's what govern means. You have governing power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you, which means anything in your life that acts like it wants to get out of control, you have the ability, if you're mature And if you have access to the, if you have your conscience to the presence of God, you have unchecked abilities to subdue that thing. I don't care how long it takes. You sit there and you deal with it until it's under your control. Go over to Matthew's. Matthew's, the sixth chapter. Matthew's, the sixth chapter. Watch this. Jesus gave us a secret. See, when Jesus talks, you got to listen at what he's saying, but because if you just listen in the natural without having access to God's presence, you're going to think Jesus is saying one thing, but he really trying to get you to see something else. That comes from spending time with him. In the sixth chapter, in the sixth verse, Jesus was talking to a group of people. He said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. What was Jesus saying? What was Jesus saying when he said, enter? Now notice now, let's break this down. He said, enter into thy closet. When thou prayest, first of all, who you praying to? You praying to God, right? I hope you are. I hope that's who we talking about, yeah. He say, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. So first of all, wherever this closet is, God is already there. Why? He said, because when you pray, go into your closet. Because when you go into your closet, God is there waiting on you. And shut the door. What Jesus is saying, when you put yourself in a position to be consciously aware of his presence and blocking everything on the outside. Yes. It's not talking about going into a physical closet. Right. No. Some of us go into a physical closet. If you don't understand this, you go into a physical closet and have nothing but darkness. Because you ain't turned the light on. Your closet is your private time with God. So if you're sitting on your living room, if you're sitting at your dining room, if you're sitting at your office cubicle, and you decide to become, watch this, to become aware of God's presence at that moment. See, God, and see, the atmosphere changes when you become aware. When you make a decision to become aware of God's presence, the atmosphere around you changes. That doesn't mean God has come into the room. That don't mean God just got there. That means you just decided to recognize that he was already there. See, you ought to realize that there is nothing that can hold you back. Nothing that can stop you, because God is always with me. And all I got to do is be aware of his presence. What it means to be aware of his presence? I'm open to hear his voice. When thou hast shut thy door, man, golly, you go into your closet and shut your own door. Yeah. Apostle can't shut your door. You got to shut your own door in your closet. That means you got to spend time with God for yourself. Let me tell you something. Here's where we make a mistake as Christians. All right, Holy Spirit, be seated. Watch this, Holy Spirit. Watch this. You should know God better than Moses. That never crossed your mind. Because Moses written in the Bible, let me tell you something. I have never in my whole life, I have never been burnt by a stove. Never been burnt by a stove. I've never put my hand on no stove. The reason why I've never put my hand on no stove is because I watched somebody else put their hand on the stove and it burned them. So the best teacher in life is not your experiences. The best teacher in life is other people's experiences. So you ought to have the experience from Moses to know that God is not just aware of that God is with me. So you should, because of Jesus Christ. See, watch this. Moses, God worked with Moses where he was. Moses didn't have to go to the mountain to see God. But because Moses had a concept that God was in one geographical location, God was working with him because God was trying to get them somewhere. So God worked within his parameters. Do you realize Moses came up with the Ark of the Covenant? You mean to tell me God was in a box? Watch this. He was working with Moses. Just because Moses had him in a box don't mean you got to have him in a box. God is living on the inside of you. Be seated. Watch this. Jeremiah 23:24. Watch this. Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him? Saith the Lord. Do I not feel heaven and earth? Saith the Lord. Proverbs 15:3. Now I'm going to go through these, so write them down. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good, the evil, and the good. Acts 17:24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made by hands. So that means God was in the Ark of the Covenant to bring Moses them along. He wasn't in that box because that's where he could be. He was in that Ark of the Covenant so that Moses them could have have a conceptual idea of where God is. I like this one. Isaiah 57:15. I want you to see this one. Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy places with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Other words, God said, if you just humble yourself, you could become aware of my presence. He said, I'm high, I'm up there, I'm holy, I can handle everything, but I want to abode with you. For his eyes, Job 34:21, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he sees all his goings. How can God see all your goings? Because he's with you. See, people misconstrue, misunderstand what sin does. First of all, the epitome or the foundation for which sin stands on is selfishness. That's where every sin originates from, is selfishness. Okay. Yeah. I need to prove it to you. Go back to Genesis. Go back to Genesis. Go back to Genesis 3. Go back to Genesis 3. How many of y'all learned anything this morning? See, if you don't understand that God is with you and that you have the ability to be aware of God's presence, that's always and ever present, that you can hear the voice of God, that you can make the decision that I'm going to sit here until I hear from God. When you realize that. Now, watch this. You hearing God has nothing to do with your abilities. It has everything to do with your submission. See, hearing God, if hearing God was based on an ability, we all have different levels of abilities. But hearing God is not based on ability, it's based upon submission. Am I willing to go into my closet and shut my door? Am I making time to go into my closet and shut my door? Or am I waiting for an apostle to come out of his closet? See, the fivefold has been given to us to mature us. Amen. To grow us to a place. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Galatians 3:13. Right? Yes. Curses everyone that hangeth on the tree. Christ has redeemed us. Put us back in a formal position. What formal position? That we can have access to all the trees. How did Jesus do that? In Matthew 22, where it talks about when Jesus died, he hung his head. He said, the curtain that was supposedly withholding the presence of God from man. But the curtain was your consciousness. The curtain wasn't withholding the presence of God. It was your consciousness. God wouldn't contain it in no one spot. God is omnipresent. So what the curtain represented? The curtain represented your consciousness. Watch this. Not only your consciousness, but your ability to choose if you're going to be conscious or not. Do you know the difference between a carnal Christian and a spirit-led Christian? Consciousness. Are you aware that God is present? If you're not aware that God is present, when you run into something that got to be subdued, you're going to come up with your own ideas. And when you come up with your own ideas, you're now responsible for the outcome of your own ideas. But a Christian that is spirit-led, that needs to subdue something, can get inside the presence of God. What that means? Turn their conscience towards God, realize that God is with me, realizing that I can hear God for myself. Realizing that I don't need nobody else to hear God for me. I can hear God for myself. When I come to that realization, that means I can sit long enough with the word of God and God will begin to talk to me. Because guess what? God has been talking to you all along. We just ain't been hearing it. I'm not bashing these colloquialisms where we say, God, manifest your presence. It ain't up to God to manifest his presence. When we say God manifest his presence, what we're really saying is, help my consciousness. You know, Apostle, He may apostle say, I want to learn you so bad. I want to learn you so bad. He said, I want to learn you something. And every time he said, I picture what he's saying. He said he wants to rip off anything that's blocking you and won't push it down in you. You have to become aware. Now, watch this. You have to become aware that you have access to your own closet. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You have access to your own closet. And then watch this. You got to shut your own door. That means you got to block out the outside world. Romans 12. Romans 12. I'm almost finished. Romans 12. The difference between, see, because you know, y'all know we got people that we think are more spiritual than us. Now, see, here's what I'm talking about. Here we get in church, start lying. You know, you always got in your mind that somebody's more spiritual than you. The only difference between them and you is their awareness. And your awareness is heightened. Your awareness is acute, becomes acute, the more you decide to spend time with the presence of God. So I expect somebody who spend, I'm just throwing out a number. I expect somebody who spend three times a week with God to know more than somebody who's spending one. I expect that. I expect somebody who spends, my point is, I expect somebody who spends more time with God is going to know more and be more aware of God's presence than somebody who don't. See, that's the only thing happened to Adam and Eve. They decided they didn't want to spend time with God. And he was right there. Can you imagine God sitting there following? You can't. I'm glad that God is omnipresent. I'm glad he's all-knowing, omniscient. I'm glad he's omnipotent, all-powerful. Can you imagine God with you all the time and keep watching? Let me say this way. Can you imagine God with me all the time and I keep making crazy decisions and he got to sit there and watch me go through it? Some of us go through that frustration with your children. You tell them, hey, don't do this. I'm telling you, you don't want to do that. And they go and do it. And you got to watch them go through it. That's how God feels. Every time Apostle steps into this pulpit, he is putting a ball and chain. Who knows that it's a ball and a chain? Round your ankle, and it's heavy, and dropping you off in the supernatural. You can't go nowhere. Every time you come to Word of Life, you're going to the supernatural. Every time you come here, you're going to be aware of God's presence. So you can't leave here saying you've never been in the presence of God. That's what Word of Life is designed to do, is to expose us to the presence of God so that we can get there on our own. Romans 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that are you seeing this? I need this to sink in. We thought this was just about living holy. Do you know the purpose of living holy? The purpose of living holy is not to make it to heaven. The purpose of living holy is so that you can be on point, conscious of the presence of God. That's why Jesus died on the cross for our sins. That's why we have 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means that even if I just made a mistake, I can ask God forgiveness and be right there aware of his presence. So it's really no excuses for anybody. He said, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Both sacrifices are dead. But here the Apostle Paul said, I need you to be a living sacrifice. So that means that's something that you're going to have to sacrifice while you're alive. What is it that you have to sacrifice? Your ego. Your ego. Your denial of God's presence. You got to sacrifice that. All right, now once you've sacrificed it, you go to verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. So that means if I don't present my body to God as a living sacrifice, as an available instrument for God, if I don't become conscious of his presence, if I'm not aware of his presence, if I don't do that, that means I'm going to conform to this world. So now you understand why there are Christians that claim the name of Jesus, but getting their butt whipped down here all day long. It's because they haven't presented. This is why holy, living holy is just not about living sin free or not making mistakes. Living holy simply means, God, I'm aiming to be who you called me to be. I am aiming to be who you designed me to be. And I got to make that decision. I got to present my body a living sacrifice. Because when I present my body, present your body. That means you in the physical, in the natural, you saying, I present myself to you, God, to use me like you want. Now, God can't use you if you ain't hearing it. That's why you have to be aware of his presence. Then we can get to verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Becoming aware of God's presence puts you in a position to renew your mind. See, that's why you can read the word of God and don't get nothing from it. That's how you can read. That's why you can memorize the word of God and don't get nothing from it. Because you have to read the word of God. Watch this, being aware that God wants to talk to me beyond these scriptures. See, no longer is the word of God there for you to just guide your life on the surface. My mind has to be, because watch what renewing your mind does. Watch what renewing your mind does. Renewing your mind will put you in a position to prove. Or another word to put in that place of prove is to recognize. To recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So what's happening is when you present your body to God, you say, God, use me like you want to use me. I'm aware of your presence. I'm conscious of your presence. God, once again, prophetic utterances. See, pastors should be saying stuff to us. Prophetic utterance. I am a carrier of the glory of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the governing power of the Holy Ghost. You're reminding yourself that I am conscious, that I'm aware that God can talk to me at any moment. There's nothing that you can't subdue. If you have something in your life this morning, online, listen to me, you got something in your life this morning that's giving you issues, that's telling you it's trying to run your life, you have the unchecked ability to subdue it. But you can't do it under your own power. You're going to have to submit, present your body. God, my life is yours. So when you say, God, my life is yours, it's now I am talking to I am. See, y'all, some of y'all, you never thought, who else I am going to talk to? I'm made in his image. So I've been designed to be talked to by I am. I am, listen. We have this morning a young lady from Brazil interpreting right now as I preach for our Brazilian Zoom channel. Now, the reason why we have an interpreter for Brazil, because if I go to Brazil talking like this, we ain't gonna get nothing accomplished. So what has to happen? If I wanna be able to go to Brazil and preach without an interpreter, I'm gonna have to get accustomed to their culture. I'm going to get accustomed to their language. Yes, sir. Some of y'all are not understanding the language of God because you haven't submerged yourself in his culture. There's only one way to do that. You got to spend time with him. You got to take his language lessons. See, now I'm a human. The Brazilians are human. We both human. We both made alike. So in order for me to communicate with them, I have to go and submerge myself in their culture and in their way of talking and in their language. I have to go learn Portuguese. You're made in the image of God. But the reason why sometimes you can't hear the voice of God is because you hadn't submerged yourself. What I mean is to submerge myself. Present myself, present my body as a living sacrifice. Then I let the word of God renew my mind. Once I'm reading the word of God and it's renewing my mind, it now opens up the windows of heaven where God can talk to me like he wants to talk to me. I now understand his language. Holy Spirit, thank you. I don't need no interpreter. I don't need no in-between. See, watch this. Apostle may have to be there for a while so to help you submerge and understand the culture. But once you understand the language for yourself, once you understand the language of God for yourself, if I ever learn Portuguese, Viviana, you are fired. That's my friend. Viviana, if I ever learn Portuguese, are you getting what I'm saying? She don't have to be the in-between no more. Apostle don't have to be your in-between for the supernatural no more. Apostle can stand to the side proud, saying they can get there on their own. How many see what I'm saying? Be seated. One more scripture. Watch this. One more scripture. Turn to 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6. The Apostle Paul said something to Timothy. In 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, the 12th verse. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. The Apostle Paul told him to fight the good fight of faith. This is the only time the Apostle Paul mentioned that you're going to have to fight. Now, who you think you're going to have to fight? You. The devil defeated.
Amen. Amen. Yes, he is.
The devil already defeated. And he knows it. So you're going to have to fight you. What you mean fight me? You're going to have to discipline yourself. You're going to have to walk into your own closet. You're going to have to shut your door. You're going to have to get rid of the distractions. You're going to have to get rid of nothing. Listen, we're coming to times in this earth realm where nothing can't be more important than you spending time with God. Everything else is going to have to wait. Fight the good fight of faith. Your body sometimes going to be like, I don't want to do this. You're going to have to fight it. Philippians 3. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but there's one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. You're going to have to fight and you're going to have to reach. Listen. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press. This ain't going to happen. Listen. The only thing automatic is God's presence. It's there. Everything else you're going to have to fight and press. What do you mean fight and press? You're going to have to deal with your thoughts. You're going to have to deal with your time. You're going to deal with anything trying to keep you from being conscious of the presence of God. God is not going to deal with that. You have to deal with that. God has empowered you to deal with it. God said, you got to present yourself. You got to present your body. You got to do this. Nobody else can do this for you. It says out of your belly. Not anybody else's belly. Out of your belly. Listen, I can't... Water out of Montreal belly ain't doing me no good. His water ain't at my feet. His water ain't causing me to be covered. I need the water flowing out of my belly. You say, well, Leroy Jr., how I start? It ain't hard to start. All you have to, forget all the religious colloquialisms. It's just, God, here am I. What you want to do with me? God, show me. And that once you say those words and you become conscious of the presence, God will begin to unfold it. God will put people in your pathway that will cause you and pull you along. God, listen. God transported a man for the Ethiopian eunuch. God transported a man to give him insight. God will do, if you open yourself up to him, God will do what it takes to get to you what he wants to get to you. He will do what it takes to get the information to you. He'll do what it takes to get the revelation out of to you. He'll do what it takes to get anything you need to accomplish his will. But you have to decide, I'm open to your presence, God. I'm open to your voice. I'm open for you to use me. I'm open. So now watch this. When you open to the presence of God, it eradicates sin. See, when you're conscious of the presence of God, things that you thought had you bound in sin, habits. When you open yourself up to the presence of God, when you stay with God and you say, God, I love you. I just want to be around you. I'm opening myself up to you. Anything, then you can recognize Satan when he coming. He can't slip in on you no more. He can't make you do the same things you were doing. He can't make you do that habit no more because you're in the presence of God. You are conscious. So watch this. You are conscious that God's presence is all around you. So, I need you to let Apostle put this chain and ball around your ankles and drag you. Let you sink on down to the bottom so your ego can be suffocated. So everything about you that want to ignore the presence of God can be drowned out.